Lord, thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, we're grateful because when we enter your presence, Lord, it's not so we can try to impress you. Lord, we can come as we are.
That's right.
Lord, we can come as your children, as a father you are to us, and as a children we come to you, Lord. And thank you, Father, for just the opportunity. Lord, the doors are open, the access is wide. And Lord, because of Jesus Christ who has, Lord, sacrificed, today, Lord, we can come as your children. And that's something we rejoice about today. Lord, that puts a smile on our face this evening, Lord, knowing that we're accepted, knowing that there is nothing to prove, no one to impress, that we are your sons and daughters in this room. We are your kids. And so, Lord, today, we just offer to you our hearts, our lives, our day. Lord, some of us have had a great day, some of us not so great a day. But Lord, whatever that is, even as the Bible says in Psalm 34, I will extol the Lord at all times. Not just sometimes, not just a few of the moments of the times of the day. All the time, we will extol your name. And so even at this moment, Lord, we worship you. And we say, you are worthy of our honor and praise. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can we give the Lord a hand? Let's just give God praise through our clap. Thank you, God. You may go and have a seat. Well, good evening, everyone. Okay. Well, yeah. My name is Paolo. It's been an honor and a privilege for me to be with you for the past few days. We did a teachers and parents seminar last Saturday, and then I got to preach last Sunday at the morning and the afternoon services, and then today to share the word a little bit with you, the word tonight as we speak and pray together. And so again, I'm grateful for all of you who've come even tonight to pray together with us. I'm grateful for Pastor Agus and Miss Lillian for inviting. Thank you, Pastor Agus. I got to see him because he was in Manila, actually, okay? So we switched. I was here, and he was in Manila, okay? But I'm glad I got to catch him before we go back to Manila. Tonight we're going to talk about servanthood. We're going to talk about a heart to serve. And many of you here, I know you serve God in the ministry. How many of you serve God in the volunteer ministry? Kids church, ushering, music, okay? Many of you, if not most of you. And I started serving the Lord. In fact, I was in children's ministry for about 11 years. Okay, we were missionaries to Russia as volunteers. We were not actually sent by the church, but my friends who started our church, Every Nation Church in St. Petersburg in Russia, where we first really experienced cold, minus 25 degrees Celsius. All right, that was pretty cold. And so, we would buy ice cream and put it in our pockets. By the time we get home, it's still frozen. All right, seriously. And so that was how cold it was. And we enjoyed our time there. And then while we were there, our founding pastor, Pastor Steve Merle, wrote us an email and said, would you consider serving in children's ministry? And so when we got home, I sat down with Pastor Steve, and Pastor Steve said, try it out for 3 months. If you still have hair on your head, then maybe you're called to kids ministry, children's ministry, okay? I think I still have a lot of my hair, but I'm still there. But 3 months became 11 years, right? And so it's been an honor and a joy to actually serve in children's ministry. My prayer was, Lord, use me to raise the next generation of leaders. And I showed last Saturday some of the pictures. One young person who was in the class I was teaching is now the city councilor, all right, in our city. And so just how the Lord has used children's ministry. How many of you here, you are in children's church or in Sunday school? Raise your hand. Okay, these are some of my heroes, all right? And so could you give these guys a big hand? A lot of what they do are behind the scenes, okay? And so I remember when I was, I grew up in a single-parent home. My parents separated before I turned 1 year old, and for 15 years I didn't see my dad. But there was this one teacher I had, all right? I can't remember what she taught. I think it was math or English, one or the other. But every time it was dismissal, she would ask me, come by the faculty room and give me a hug. She knew my background. I think she knew I needed love, right? And so she asked me, come, I'll give you a hug every day. And as a grade one student, I didn't like it because I wanted to go straight to the playground after class. But she asked me, she forced me. But I appreciated it, actually. I really appreciated it. And I gave her, I would give her a hug every time it's end of class. And I remember her name. Her name is Mrs. Cruel. She was nice. But Cruel was her last name. Okay? Not Cruella de Vil, okay? But just Cruel. But it was, you know, and again, that's why teachers are actually some of my heroes. I told Pastor Steve, our founding pastor, when I retire from ministry, I'll go back to kids' ministry. Okay, I want to go back. But anyway, what I'm going to share with you today is this. How do you have a heart to serve? Where does that come from? Why is God calling us to serve? Now, if you'd be honest with yourself, none of us, or actually very few of us, would actually want to serve. Because innately, we're actually selfish, if you would be honest enough. I don't know if you'd actually be honest enough to tell me that, but we want, our hearts are selfish. And not only are our hearts are selfish, we don't want to be inconvenienced. It's such a very comfortable world that we live in today. Right? Everything's instant. You have a microwave oven. Everything's instant. Okay? Used to be, this was your parents or grandparents, right? Some of you I see are very young, right? They would wash their clothes using their hands, right? Now you just throw it in the washing machine and in a few minutes it's done. Right? Everything's instant. And we don't want to get inconvenienced. But the Lord is calling us to serve. It's really for our hearts. He wants our hearts to be tender and soft. And for His glory, we continue to serve Him. Now, I want to read from Isaiah chapter 6, chapter 1 to 8. And it's going to get flashed on the screen in a minute. But let me give you a background. Isaiah was in the temple. And it was a marvelous event. King Uzziah had just died. This was 740 BC. One of Judah's greatest leaders of all time, and Isaiah somehow met the Lord. All right, and it was a great event that happened there. A great king has left the throne because he just died. But how many of you know, even if there's no king, there's still the King of Kings that is seated on the throne. God is in charge. No matter the shaking or the circumstance, God is still on the throne. There's no coup d'etat. No one's dethroned Him. And as we seek God in prayer tonight, as we meet Him in prayer, let's learn a few things and what it means to serve God and to be sent for Him. Number one, let's talk about this. There's three things, three lessons I want to learn. Number one, God reveals Himself to those who are available. God is willing to use you and I if we're available. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1. Let me read. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two covered their feet. Two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. We see here an incredible encounter that Isaiah had with God. And the Lord, even though, you know, it was a marvelous event, spoke to Isaiah, and because he was in the presence of the Lord, God revealed Himself to Isaiah. Listen, God will reveal Himself to whoever is with Him and available in His presence. And that's why tonight is important. Meetings like these are important because we come together, we join in prayer, we join our faith, and we meet and encounter God. There's no other agenda. Kind of like what Grace said earlier, we just want to meet with our Father. We just want to meet with God. And I know we're busy people. You probably have a list in your mind you have tick boxes on your apps and the phone, what to do next after tonight. And it's gotten busy through the years because of work, because of school. I know it's exam week for some of the students, right? And you have family and all these things happening. It's like, you know, the picture of a juggler? You know, the more balls you add, the more possibilities there is to drop those balls. That's the picture of a person today. And obviously social media doesn't help a lot because we think we're busy and we're still spending a lot of time on social media, right? And so Isaiah was in God's presence. But while he was in the temple, God shows up. As he was available for God, God shows up. And then he speaks and reveals to him. Question, is your heart open to God? Can God talk to you whenever and however he wants? Or are we too busy? There's too much going on. God will speak to those who are available. See, the key is relationship with him and availability towards him. Ministry, and you have to understand this, ministry is only an overflow of a relationship with God. It's an overflow. Everybody say overflow. You know why that is? Because if there's no relationship, it's just going to be reduced to obligation. If we're just serving God out of obligation, soon enough, you'll check out and bail out on him. But if there's a relationship, you're going to stick it out because you know this is a love relationship. It is an overflow. Ministry has to be and always will be a relationship, an overflow of our relationship with God. You know, I told you I was in kids ministry, and there's this guy, his name is Abe, okay? Kind of like the restaurant that some of the guys ate in, okay? Abe, okay? This guy, Abe, was a guitarist. He played guitar for the kids' church. And he's been playing the guitar for 18 years for kids' church. To this day, he started because his daughter was in kids' church, 6 years old, right? And now her daughter is actually married, but he's still in kids' church, still serving. Why? Because he loves God, and out of that overflow of his love for God, he serves. Why would a person stick for 18 years? Why? And his daughter is no longer there. It's primarily because it's an overflow of relationship with God. That's the first one. Number two. Second lesson we want to learn. God is in the habit of using imperfect and flawed people. Now, I don't know if you're thankful for this. I hope you're thankful for this. We're flawed and imperfect. You are fully known and yet you're fully loved. You know when you know somebody, the more you know somebody, it's like, okay, I know this person, all the imperfections. Those of you, how many of you are married? Raise your hand. Okay, great. Okay, you get to know your spouse even more after through the years, right? How many of you want to get married in the future? Raise your hand. Come on. Okay, single people don't want to get married here? Of course you want to get married, right? And so you're going to get married one day and you're going to get into a relationship. But you see, when you get married, okay, you will smell the bad breath. You will see the pimples. Okay, I don't want to get too graphic, right? But you see, the more you get to know a person, sometimes, all right, people get turned off, right? But you see, with you and me, with God, the more he knows us, the more actually he loves us. We're fully known and yet we're fully loved. And God is in the habit of using imperfect and flawed people. I'm just so thankful for that. I really am. The Bible says in verse 5, "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar when it had touched my mouth, and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." That's a picture of the gospel right there. A realization of his grace propels us to serve. When you understand, I don't even deserve salvation. Everything after salvation is bonus. Everything after salvation is bonus. You know, I get to preach every Sunday. That's just bonus. If God takes the mic away from me and I quit ministry, or he takes me off ministry, I'm fine. Because my identity and my security is not in ministry. It's in Jesus Christ. And he's already given me so much through salvation. After that, it's all just bonus. I get to teach parenting seminars. I get to preach the gospel to people. That's bonus. And I think that posture of non-entitlement will keep your heart grateful. Because once entitlement sets in, how many of you know that's insidious? Entitlement is so insidious, you won't even realize it's crept up in your heart. And when it's crept up in your heart becomes arrogant. Your heart becomes entitled. And I've been here 20 years. I've been here 50 years. I've been here, you know, I've been teaching kids' church. I've been playing the guitar for many years. They should treat me this way. None of us can say that. Because the grace of God has, only the grace of God has allowed us to be here today. Everything after salvation is bonus. I say that because I talked to Ivan earlier coming over here. You know, I grew up in a really messed up home. I told the church last Sunday, apart from the salvation of Jesus, I would either be in drugs, in jail, or dead today. Apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. So messed up. I was insecure. I had lived a life that was, you know, immoral, impure, away from Jesus. And yet he saved me. I didn't deserve to be saved, but he saved me. I didn't know my dad until I was 16 years old. And I met him first time, 16 years old. And the Lord allowed me to get to know him. And the Lord so restored our relationship. I was telling Ivan, we had lunch. And the night before that, I had a Bible study with our founding pastor, Pastor Steve. And he said, he talked about honoring your parents. So I had a lunch with my dad the next day. I said, I felt so convicted. I needed to tell him I honor him. So I met with him. I said, you know, Papa, I wanted to meet with you today because I want to tell you I honor you as my dad. He was actually shocked when I told him that. Because out of the blue, I would only see him once a year after 16 years old. And then at age 23, I meet him and I sit down with him for lunch. I want to honor you as my dad. I know it didn't work out for you and mom. I want to say that there's forgiveness in my heart. And I want God to restore our relationship. And if given another chance to choose another last name, I would choose Punzalan, my last name, all over again. And I want God to restore our relationship. And you know what? I felt there was like a wall that fell before. And ever since that day, God started to renew and restore our relationship. He walked me down the aisle when I got married. And the day he got a heart attack, it's a long story. I'm just cutting it short. I had the long version shared to Ivan in the car. But long story short, I got to share the gospel to him. He had a heart attack. And then he gave his life to Christ at the ICU, intensive care unit. Gave his life to Christ right there. And then I read Psalm 34. I'll extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be in my lips. That's not a long psalm. Halfway through, he had this one last final heart attack, and he was in heaven after that. He was gone. He was dead. So Lord allowed me to share the gospel to my dad 2 minutes before he went into eternity. If that's not the grace of God, I don't know what is. That's why I say every single time, everything after salvation is bonus. I serve him today, it's just bonus. He showed me his love. I'm such an imperfect person, flawed to this day. I'm such an insecure person. I'm just grateful I have Jesus as my security. You know that game? You've probably been to an amusement park where though it's called mole, whack-a-mole. You've seen that, right? That insecure head will show up every so often. I have to hammer it. You know how I hammer it? I hammer it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Thank you, Lord, you accepted me. Nothing to prove, no one to impress. Thank you, Lord God, that every single day you love me. Fully known and yet fully loved. God is in the habit of using imperfect, flawed people. Number three, let me finish up. I think I'm out of time. A moment with God leads to a movement for God. You see, he's not just out there to save you. He wants to use you to save the world. Okay? Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here am I, send me." You see, soaking in his presence leads us to sending for his glory. Soaking in his presence leads us to ascending for his glory. See, we don't want to just stay in a room or stay in the upper room. God wants to lead us from the upper room to the uttermost parts of the world. And not very many of us will go to different parts in the world. Some of you will never go to Bangladesh, Pakistan, Cambodia, Thailand. But listen, you can go across the street. You can go across your cubicle at work. You can go across your campus. You can go across your classroom. God can send you. There's no telling what God will do to a life that is submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. What God will do in a moment, it is to propel you for a movement. Our founding pastor, Pastor Steve, came to Manila in 1984. Okay. Some of you weren't even born yet. But I'll show you a few pictures. That's Pastor Steve on the left with his wife, Deborah. This is 1984. God, in a moment, all right, in the States, this was in, this is in the Philippines already, this picture. But when they were in, I'm trying to remember where they were, somewhere in the States, in a city in the States, God spoke to them to go to Manila. Okay? With a team of 65 other Americans, made a short-term mission trip to the Philippines. And then they originally wanted to stay 1 month. 1 month turned into 25 years. Okay, next picture. Okay, so these are some of the students. Okay, next picture. Okay, some of you, next picture. Okay, upper left, some of you have met Pastor Jure. Okay, he was still a student. Okay. The guy in the right circle, that's our pastor in San Francisco. The one in the bottom is our pastor in Pioneer. Okay, and so some of these faces are actually pastors now. And so again, I wish I could pull out Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Ariel, Pastor Jojo when they were students. Okay, I should have pulled out Pastor Jojo's picture. Okay, because you know him. Okay, but he's one of these guys. All right, and so. But what God did in the moment, he started a movement as a result. Next picture. Is there another picture? Is that it? Okay, that's it. Okay. What I wanted to say is this. That God will use you. Okay? And what he's trying to accomplish is not just for your own life. You need to understand that God has a mission. Okay? The mission of God, Missio Dei. The mission of God for your life. It's not just about yourself. It's never just about ourselves. Lest we think it's just about ourselves. It's become consumer Christianity sometimes. We try to consume so that we can become obese spiritually. God's sending us out. Not necessarily across the nations of the world, but across your cubicle, across your street, across your campus. And so when you serve, it's always an overflow of that relationship. You see, after that encounter with God, when God said, "Who will I send?" It was so quick for Isaiah to say, "Send me. I'm going to serve you, Jesus. Serve you, Lord." Why? Because God saved him. God cleansed him. God brought him out of darkness into light. God took him and atoned for his sins. And so for us today, are you grateful that Jesus saved you? And if you're grateful, out of that relationship, we flow into service. That's where you get your heart of service. A gratitude, a grateful heart is the antidote to a grumbling heart. And so when your heart is grateful, then you end up serving him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, the opportunity to serve you. It's an honor. Lord, it's not an obligation. It's not a have to, but it's a get to. We don't have to, but we get to serve the King. What a privilege. And so, Lord, tonight, even as we muse about these things, we think about these things. Lord, take away every entitlement in our hearts. Lord, put us in a posture of non-entitlement, Lord, that we don't even deserve anything. If we got what we deserved, we would be in hell today. But because we didn't get what we deserved, we have everything that we have right now. Your grace, your abundant life, your prosperity, your love, your goodness, your kindness, your peace. We can sleep at night because of your grace upon our lives. We have what we have today because of you. We give you praise and honor. Lord, propel us to serve you. Propel us to serve you. And from this heart of gratitude, help us, Lord, to continue to serve you in ways that we bring pleasure and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Okay, so before we close it off tonight, we're going to go into groups of three.